At least three people have been killed during a gunfight in Monrovia, the capital of Liberia. It's the worst violence in the city since African peacekeepers arrived in early August. The trouble occurred when a rebel leader entered Monrovia to meet with Liberia's interim president. It coincided with the handover of peacekeeping duties to the United Nations. With a force that will grow to 15,000 blue-helmeted troops, it's the UN's largest peacekeeping mission, surpassing the one that established stability in Liberia's neighbor, Sierra Leone. The BBC's Paul Welsh, who's in Monrovia, says despite yesterday's violence, the city has been transformed since August.
If you look at Monrovia and the area around it where the peacekeepers, the 3,500, there have been really dramatic changes. People are back on the streets, they're living their lives again, shops are open, food is back down to the prices that it was before the trouble really broke out properly in June, and there are smiles on people's faces again. But if you go outside that area where those troops have managed to deploy at the moment, it's pretty much back to normal. The militias are out and about, they are harassing the public, they are robbing and raping, on occasions they're murdering, and there are skirmishes at times between the government forces and the rebels in the north of the country. Now the hope is that as those extra peacekeeping troops begin to arrive, they'll extend the area that's controlled by peacekeepers, and the whole country will begin to benefit from the peace that's begun here.
What about Liberia's humanitarian needs?
They're still huge, absolutely incredibly huge. In Monrovia itself, although many of the people who were living rough here, who'd moved into the city ahead of the rebel advance, have gone home, there are still many more who can't go home. In the National Sports Stadium, at the height of the trouble, there were 60,000 people living in the stadium. Now, there are still about 40,000 living in that stadium in terrible conditions. They've had no food supplies for a month or more, and they are scared to go home because their homes are in the areas that are not yet controlled and protected by peacekeepers.
Liberia's deposed president, Charles Taylor, has gone into exile in Nigeria. Any sense that he's still influencing events in Liberia?
Yes, the United Nations Secretary-General's special representative here, Jacques Klein, says that he is, and the president of Nigeria, who's given him exile, says that he is. Basically, what they say is that he's on the phone two or three times a day to his ex-ministers here, handing out instructions and trying to run the country by telephone from abroad, and they are warning him that if he doesn't stick to the deal, which was to be quiet in exile and not to do anything to interfere in his country, then things will be done to make sure that he faces justice at the International War Crimes Tribunal next door in Sierra Leone, where he's wanted for crimes against humanity for having helped to stoke up and to supply the war there.
And the power-sharing agreement between the government and the rebels, how's that working out?
Well, it hasn't kicked in yet, as it were. The only difference in the government at the moment is that Charles Taylor isn't the president and isn't sitting here in power. His vice president has taken over temporarily. On October the 14th, the new government is due to be sworn in. The government that was set up by the peace talks between the rebels and the old government, it's due to be a transitional government, which would run until elections can be organized, proper elections for the whole country. And then the demobilization, the disarmament of the rebels and the other militias will begin. And that will be a huge step forward for this country, to get some of those guns away and destroyed, so that the chance of things breaking out again is really diminished, because the number of weapons in circulation is huge and it's a destabilizing influence.
The BBC's Paul Welsh in Monrovia, Liberia.